I compared it to a song, and just like any other song I've ever sung in my life, I forgot the words and took some of it and put it out of order. Amen? And I made up some song and some words too. I didn't do that. Is there any men here can back me up? I'll start singing a song and I'll know the words to it by the time I'm halfway through it. Melissa's like, that ain't even a song. I know, I said, but I like it. And she says, you just made up the words too. I said, I know, because I forgot the other ones. But I just want to, somebody said that, pray, I just make a joyful noise. I don't even know if that's joyful or not, but it's a noise. Amen. Y'all ready to get, let's get back into the Word. Same place in verse 2. Let me give, I want to give y'all some background. The reason I said, my God, is if you notice, after everything that he lists in these three verses, he lists it as mine, right? The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my God. The Lord is my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Man, I don't know about you, if you read that enough, you'd probably begin to shout. Because all of a sudden, he's just telling you what you have in Christ Jesus. This psalm was sung by David after God had put all his enemies down, and even Saul. So he began to praise. I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll lose our opportunity to praise because after God's done something, maybe some things will come along. Maybe your rationale, maybe your rational thinking will come in. And you'll start to dismiss God and start lifting up other things for why you're doing better. And I hope we don't do that. David probably could have said, I'm a pretty good manipulator of caves and mountains and fast runner, and I was a better thinker, and I had more people on my side. But instead he said, God is everything and every reason my enemies are at bay. The only reason I'm still making it's because God. I wish we'd have that attitude. Every time somebody says, why are you where you're at, Jesus? How do you think you're going to get through this situation, Jesus? Amen? Are y'all ready? I left out three words. Get them all. I don't know if they're going to be in order, but I wanted to preach them this way, and God give them to me, so I didn't want to leave them out. And I knew, the way the service went this morning, if y'all weren't paying attention, God did that on purpose. Because, I mean, as soon as the service was over this morning and I started walking out of the pulpit, I knew there was about 3 points that I'd missed. And God was saying, I didn't want them preached this morning. He did pretty good work, didn't he? I don't know about you, that's pretty good work. Let's get at these, because God gave me some detail in them, and I want to take my time and teach them and preach them tonight. 3 points only, and after the end of these 3 points, then I'll let you go. But listen to this. God is my deliverer. Is He your deliverer? I want to show y'all some things, what kind of deliverer I want God to be for me. I want Him to be the same deliverer He was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, if we're not careful in the next 10, 20, and 30 years, we're going to get into some God trouble. Not sin trouble, God trouble. Where the world's going, God's going another way. These big to-do, the king made a big tower of himself, and they were going to play some music, some psaltery and sackbut, harps, and I just want to say sackbut every time I think about that story. They said when the music fires up, everybody go to worshiping. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they'd been hanging out with Daniel, and they weren't compromisers. They were leaders in their country. They had made it all the way up to being like status of senators or representatives, if you will. And they were somebody. They had got to a place where they were serving God and being blessed in a foreign country at the same time. Some of y'all might want to take a note. If you leave Flat Top Independent Church and go somewhere else in the world can promote you and God can promote you, but at some point you better remember where you came from. All of a sudden, here's these three young boys, young men, all of a sudden said, when the music plays, y'all bow. That's just something we can't do. I'm sorry. I want to be respectful to the government. I want to do what a good citizen does. But once a good citizen is something that diverges from God's plan and God's promises and God's truths and God's right and God and what the world is wrong, God is right, I'm going to go with God. And the music thanked up. And yet you got to thank thousands and hundreds and everybody they knew bowed and they stood. Listen, guys, I'll be honest with you. Christianity ain't easy right here. Now, some of us adults, we've probably carved ourselves out a little niche in life, and we could probably do a lot of the stuff that we want to do, and we don't have to bend to peer pressure very much. But if you're under 20 years old in this room, and everybody's doing something, and you're not, in the name of Jesus, you're going to have some roots about you. Amen? You're going to have to grow some roots. What I mean by growing roots is you're going to have to grow down further than everybody else that you can withstand. God, I wish I had a day to preach on what I just said. Why roots are important is when it gets hot and dry, you still got a source to draw from. Amen? When everybody else dries up, when you thought you had a few Christian friends, they might have prayed around lunchtime or they might have said they went to church, but when everybody else is doing something and they blow away like tumbleweed and you're still standing there, you'll need something else to draw from. So that means you need to get hooked up with God more and more. More and more. Read His Word. Pray. Seek Him. Listen to God's Word. Know that it to be true. You know what else? You're going to need some roots because guess what? You're going to get knocked over some. Amen? You are. You're going to get flat knocked over. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to fail. And when you do, whew, you're going to hear about it. Oh, there goes Miss Perfect. She's done failed. She done messed up. Said something, done something. Done, you know, they done hurt. And guess what? You've been knocked down. Amen? You ever been there? You know what my favorite tree is when it comes to roots? Amen. I'm glad somebody knows me. Palm trees, it's my favorite. Because when you read about them, their root system is half as long as they are up out of the ground. Because why? Because they're standing out there on the banks of the worst storms in the world. Amen? They stand out there and they say, come on, give me what you got. And they're beautiful. But in a storm, them babies bend all the way to the ground. But when the storm's over and the sun comes out, they stand right back up. You know who else I like? This is good. We need to be a church that has roots like them big red trees out in California. What do they call them things? Cypress? Sequoia. Get somebody correct me. I'm not a big tree person. But I just know they're out in California. They're them big ones, you know. They're huge. We need to have a church for people just like that, that are going through and having to go through them storms. We've carved our niche out. Do you know I read about this? They said those trees out there, they get so big, but at the top they intertwine with each other so deeply and so closely, and they're there together that some of them have died, but they're still standing because the other trees won't let them fall. Wouldn't it be cool if some of us older folks get intertwined with our younger folks? Not to tell them that they're wrong, not to judge them, not to be all the time telling them they're a mess, but fall in love with them and they fall in love with you, that when the storms of life come, that you just won't let them fall. But maybe, I'm just saying, I'm just shooting in the dark, maybe they won't let you fall. Because you'll probably die out before they do. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody you didn't think would help you in a bad time help you? So, you know, if you're so into people long enough, eventually somebody you was helping in ministry will turn around and help you. Amen? I want the kind of delivery they got. The kind of delivery they got was God took them all the way up to the brink. and didn't ever show himself. Amen? They heated the oven 7 times hotter than it should have been. And when they were taking them up, the guards died that were tossing them in. I love that part. That's one of my favorite part. Amen? The people trying to do you in, they get hurt trying to do you in. Amen? They threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Y'all know this story. Y'all can preach it better than I can. Well, my favorite part's when Nebuchadnezzar looks off in there and says, did we not cast 3 men in the fire? I see 4. And the likeness, guess what? The man's never seen God. Amen? Jesus don't appear until the New Testament. But guess what? The 4th is like the likeness of the Son of God. It looks like Jesus is in there. How do you know Jesus without knowing Jesus? That's why I don't believe in atheists. That's why I don't believe in people that don't believe in God. I believe everybody in the world has got a God thing in them. Now they're trying to fight it, but they know Jesus, and when you see him, you know him. I love this guy. I wonder, I've read this a million times, and y'all probably heard me say it. You know what? I don't even think they knew him. It don't say they did. It didn't say they were all 4 shaking hands. They didn't say that. I wonder sometimes if God delivers us, yet we know we're going through, preach. You know you're going through something that you shouldn't have made it through. You're not smart enough, capable enough, wise enough, got enough fun, whatever it is, but you're making it. Golly, y'all are the quietest church sometimes. You ever made it through some stuff that everybody knew you wasn't going to make it through? But you kept saying, it's got to be God. It's got to be. Because I'm still walking, and I'm still talking, and I'm still praising, and I'm not done. They come out the other side. Not, the fire had no effect on them. Not some effect, no effect. That's when God delivers. Don't tell me God delivered you if you're still doing something. That's not God. That's a lie. You know what else I like about the deliverance? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says it beforehand. You know what they said? Whether our God delivers or not, He's God. Whether He delivers or not, that has not... Golly. Is that not cool? Man, these 3 guys had figured it out. I really don't care what happens in the storm, in the fire, in the face of trouble. Hey, if He wants to deliver, hey, don't, great. Still God. That's an eternal look. That tells me why God got in the fire with them is because they already knew who God was. They didn't. Yeah, write this. If you don't write this down, listen to the sound and then write it down, okay? Listen, they didn't need God to perform something to let them know that it was God. He had already performed everything in their life. Amen? He had already been performing. Some of y'all already know God's God, but He don't have to do a bigger miracle. He saved you already. He's done so much in your life. God, you say, hey, if God wants to deliver, great, I'll praise Him. And if He don't, guess what? I'll praise Him in glory. That's, you got to get there eventually. Amen? You gotta look, hey, whatever it is. I like how Paul says it, for me to live is gain for you. But if I die, I'm going to heaven. That's me. I'm in there. I'm prospering there. Man, I don't want to get in a whole rant about heaven, but when we get there, remind me to tell you about it. But He's my deliverer. Aren't you glad He's your deliverer? And He's our strength. He's my strength. He's your strength. And you know what kind of strength I want? I don't want muscle-bound strength. I don't want pressing the mountain strength. I said I want Samson. I want Samson. And every one of y'all here going, you just lied, preacher. You said you didn't want that. I don't want the Samson strength that he had. I want the kind of Samson strength that he had that they couldn't figure out where it came from. And ain't that amazing? Because when we think of Samson, we think of this muscle-headed monster walking around doing strong things, but none none of it. If he was that way, the Philistines said, well, it's in his biceps, or it's in his chest, or it's in his leg. You know what? They said, man, we can't tell where it comes from. Hey, Delilah, we're in a room with him and get him weak and tell us where his strength comes from. Some of y'all got that strength. You don't know it. You know why? Because people have been watching you. Your family's been watching you. Your friends have been watching you. And you know what? You're still glorifying God. And they're whispering to each other, man, I thought she was going to go under. I thought she was going to quit church. I thought he was going to quit. After someone told Pastor, I thought they would quit. I wonder where their strength comes from. Amen. I wonder why they do that. Everything ain't going all right in their family. I wonder why they keep praising God. They're so strong, they can stand in the Lord. Amen. They have a clue. Our strength comes from God. Our strength comes from He's the vine and we're the branches. And we're hooked on Him. All the power comes that nobody can see. They see joy and love and peace. And you should be angry, bitter, and mad. You should be cursing people out, telling people to get out of your business. Instead, you're loving people. How are you so strong? God, Jesus. I know I should be bitter right now. I know I should be angry. I know I should shut down. But you know what? There's something keeping me going. Some strength here. Hey, can I give y'all a little side moment right here on this strength thing? How would you like it if somebody come and told you that you were going to be something, and then all of a sudden everything that they said you were going to be, it was the opposite? All right, let's go this way. David gets anointed. You're the next king of Israel. Amen? He's running for his very life. His best friend had to tell him, you got to run. My daddy's going to kill you. And you go from running in caves and hiding in little nooks and crannies and have an opportunity after opportunity to just be miserable. You had to go and act like you was crazy from some of the people that you used to battle, that have spit running down your face, and they say, man, David's gone crazy. I have to play crazy just because my own people want to kill me. The same people God said I was going to be their king. Turns your world up. What? Were you at the end of this that you ain't got any strength? You got any armor? You ain't got any power? You ain't got a fortress unless you have Jesus. And then what you find out is you got more strength. You got more deliverance. You got more than you ever imagined you had. Because sometimes until God puts you through the test and the trial, you think, well, I have some. You don't even know what you have until you've been with God. And I thought, I can't believe this. Amen? And you get to see what God can do in your life. But it's that strength that nobody, it don't look on the outside, but it carries you through the hard times. Amen? And you're amazed at it too. David was there. Here's the last one. It's my favorite as far as how David goes. Because, do y'all know, I love the Bible. And I love how some people have amnesia in the Bible, about the Bible. Because they'll say, David, man, he was the greatest king. David, man, he was a strong warrior. And David, man, he had a heart after God's own heart. And I'm like, yeah, no wonder. You know, he was a godly man. We need to be like David. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? David, they put his flaws out there on Front Street in the Bible. You know that, right? You know that day, that one season that he was supposed to go off to war, but instead he laid around and laid on the bed, right? And he didn't get up till noontime. Amen? Maybe later. Amen? Tide was coming in. He goes out on the porch. Amen? And he sees a girl named Bathsheba taking a bath. I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. And he commits all kinds of sin. Amen? He takes her husband. Amen? And kills him. And kills some other people that were with him. Put him in the hottest part of the battle. And drew back from him. And then he wrote a letter and sent it by him. You know the story. That's all in there. Man, when I read that Bible, sometimes I'm thinking, man, God, why'd you put this in here? Couldn't you just leave it as God? Man, David was great. And I'm, on the other hand, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, because I know that I just have the capability of messing up just like him. Man, it's in there. You know what he never did? When he was at his highest or when he was at his lowest? Now, this is the part that I want to preach to you. When David was at his highest. Now, some of y'all in this room, you don't do very good when you're at your highest. That means with everything going your way, God kind of disappears. Amen? See, when David got to being the king, he never was a king who didn't glorify God. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? David was the kind of king, is when they were building a place for him to live, he got upset. You know why? Because God didn't have a place to live. He got so upset because he's like, wait a minute, we're building me a house and God don't have a house. I'd rather not have a house and God have a house. Amen. Y'all remember? And you know what he did? He said, God, I'm building you a house. And the prophet Nathan said, build away. And then God told Nathan, no, he can't build my house. He's a bloody man. He's a warrior. And my house is going to be built by somebody who has never fought anybody. I'm going to give him a peaceful man. Oh, but that's another subject. But guess what? He got upset with God. Well, I want to build this house. I don't want you to be out there. I want you to be in a house. God said, you can't do it. But you know what he did? I'm just preaching this because I want to. You know what he did? He couldn't build the house, but you know what he did? He stockpiled material. He couldn't build it. He had a son coming. You know what he said? Don't worry, I'm putting a down payment on God's house. He said, I can't build it, but he didn't say that I couldn't stock up some wood and some gold and some silver and some bronze and praise right over there in Home Depot. David, Home Depot, go over there and get whatever you want. It's on my account. Ain't that good? That's in the Bible. It's good stuff. At his very height, he never said, I want another God. More importantly, he never said, I'm God. Amen? He kept God on the throne. Lowest low. The lowest part of his life. Amen? I think the lowest part, y'all think David's lowest part was when he messed up with Bathsheba? The lowest part was when his kids were being killed and his son was trying to take, when Absalom was trying to ruin the kingdom. And you know what? When he was walking out of there, there was a man who was throwing rocks at him and cursed him. And his right-hand man said, let me go up there and take that man's head off for you. David looked at him and said, I deserve every bit of what he's saying. Let him keep talking. He's saying what I'm thinking. I have ruined my family. I have ruined this. I've not only messed up the kingdom, I've messed up my kids. Woo! And he's walking. You know what he never does? He never says, get somebody up here where I can pray to another God, where I can offer up to another God. You know what he said? Hey, I love God. He's still my God. Whether I'm up here or whether I'm down here or somewhere in the middle, he's my God. You would do good. If I don't care if you get more money than you could ever imagine, you're doing great. He's your God. He better be. Amen? Because that'll ruin you. Or if you're... Listen, I know I'm going to say something. I don't care if you end up in a box. I don't care if you end up in the darkest box they put you in. I don't care if you end up in the lowest place in the world that you ain't got a friend alive and you are a total wreck. Don't give up on God because He ain't give up on you. Amen? You say, well, I don't know if I want to believe you on that, brother. Well, I always go to one place in the Bible when I think about that. There was a man named Lazarus who laid outside the gate of a man, had sores all over his body, dog licked his body, and he begged every day. But you know what he never didn't do? Never say, I don't know who got it. You know, God's good. It must be the place he put me. I have a feeling in my heart, this is what I feel about that guy. I believe he put him there on purpose. I believe he put him there on purpose for that rich guy to go by him every day and see somebody that had nothing but love God for everything. Amen? That's how we need to be. Whether we're way up here or way down here, we need to say, my God is my God. On your hardest day, when you think you're at your wit's end, just say a prayer. You're my God. You're doing something. Let's do this. I'm gonna quit right here. Take your Bibles, go to Romans 8:28. Here's where we want to finish. Some of y'all need to make this your life verse. Amen. If you hadn't already, make this your life verse. Romans 8:28. This is why God can be your God. No matter what, no matter what you go through, no matter how good you're doing or how bad you're doing. Are y'all ready? And we know, that's important, ain't it? It's not, did that say, we think? It says we know. And we know that all things work together. How many things? All things. It didn't say all the good things or all the bad things. It just says all the things. Let's read it all together. Look, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Every time, place, situation, you remind yourself, all of this is working to the good. This is my God. My God is working this to the good. You don't know what good it is. God's a big God. You'll never know who He's trying to save and how He's going to try to save them. Some of you might have to go to the lowest places in your life, and you might pass out of this life. Save somebody that won't never come to church, won't never hear a message. Some guy that works in radiology, somebody that's an anesthesiologist, somebody who's a lawyer, somebody who's this. Somebody on your worst day will talk to you, and they're working in this world, and they think they're going to do whatever. And you'll come in, and you'll be going through your worst time, and they'll look at you and say, why are you so joyful? Or why are you got any hope in this? And you'll say, because of Jesus Christ. And that's your mission. You never know who you're dealing with. And God, He doesn't work the way me and you work. Sows and waters. See, you'll never know, but you'll be the part of sowing and watering to somebody's life. And then one day God will come along and give the increase. And they'll have to deal with God. If you do your part, God will do His part. Amen? I thought about this 100 times. When I got saved, I thought about all the people that sowed into my life over the years. Man, they were all faithful. But they all didn't know they were sowing into my life. Can I tell you about one man, and I'm going to close, I promise. I promise this time. One man that sowed in my life never knew it. I was right on the verge of getting saved. I would play sports, and every once in a while I still do. I would play softball, and we'd go out there and play all the time. I'd play every time they called me and asked me. But this old boy, he got saved. And I knew Jesus, but I didn't know Him as my Lord and Savior at the time. I was out there playing with him, and all of a sudden he runs up to the dugout and starts putting his stuff in his bag. I'm like, where are you going, man? He said, I got to go to church. I'm like, man, it's Sunday night. You ain't got to go to church. We're right in the middle of a game. He said, no, I got to go to church. I got saved, and God saved me, and He's bigger than His softball. He said, I don't love it as much as I love my Jesus. And I said, man, we need you. If you ever know anything about sports, you don't know anything. We don't think like that. We think, man, if you ain't dead, you need to be out of here. And I remember, man, I run back out in the field. I'm watching him. I watched him throw his bag in the trunk. I seen him close it. I seen him get in the car and start the car, and I went, this guy's really doing it. This is insane. I seen him back out. I seen him drive all the way down through the parking lot. And thank God, I seen him turn right and never come back. And I said, in my heart, I didn't get saved that day. But out in that right field, down there going, God, I need that. God, I need that. I want He's God. I didn't know God was sowing into my life like that. You think that your life's some mistake. Everything you do for God has a resignation with somebody. He's your God. Live for Him. He's your God. Let's all stand. Say, come get a song of invitation.